Hey everyone, welcome to Home Therapy. It's your host, Anita Yokota. This is the podcast where we break free from our negative thoughts about our home and ourselves. As a licensed therapist and interior designer, I'm committed to bring you raw, relatable, and revealing home therapy sessions to help renovate the real in all of us. But guess what? It won't be all serious business. I love having fun, so we're going to definitely include the ridiculously crazy and funny moments we all experience at home. From DIY fails to spontaneous paint jobs and even discussions on how to decide on a style with your partner, how to motivate your kids to organize their spaces. Sound familiar? I get it. Even as a designer, I'm right here with you, navigating through these challenges and sharing the journey. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so get comfy, sink into your couch, because this is the place to get your home therapy, one session at a time with me, Anita Yokota. If you want to know the secret of breaking through the repetitive, frustrating cycle of organizing clutter in your home and then having it come back in 2 seconds, you're going to want to listen to this episode. When I was writing my book, Home Therapy, I really wanted to shape the structure of the book similar to how an individual goes through therapy. It makes a lot of sense because as you find your identity and yourself, you can go out into the world and live your best life. But if you're confused and disorganized and burnt out, how can you even begin to pursue connection and all the other goals that you want to achieve? It's really hard. In my book, Home Therapy, I focus on 4 key domains. Each are very crucial to enhancing your living experiences. This is from 20 years of therapy and interior design work. I just thought this was a very tangible way for you to view your home. I hope that you can listen to this and also start practicing putting on a new lens in how you interact and design your home. First up, like I said, starts with ourselves, the individual domain. This domain focuses on introspection, helping you discover who you are, what kind of style you like at home, your design identity, what your core desires are in each space, which is finding your why, your intention, your purpose. Then the organizational domain comes in. And when we're saying these domains, I really mean layers in your home. If you can picture any space that you want to revamp. These 4 layers, domains exist, and it's just up to you on what layer / domain you want to highlight in that space. If it's a reading corner and you want to highlight exploration of your identity and self-reflection in a reading corner with a journal, that would be individual domain. For today, we're going to talk about organizational domain. And yes, it's about getting organized and decluttering, but it's a little bit more than that. If you can think of adding structure to your internal emotional world through therapy, this is our home. Our home gives us the external structure we need to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel calm, to feel happy. Once we are organized and we have the structure we need, then we can move on to the next domain, which is communal. And that's where we live our authentic lives as far as connecting with the people that we love, connecting with ourselves, being brave and communicating effectively, being vulnerable. If your home environment is cozy and calm, you're more conducive to being vulnerable. You don't think about it a lot, but it makes sense. If our homes are cozy and inviting, then our hearts are more soft. That's when we can effectively communicate our needs, even learn how to say, I'm sorry, and take responsibility if that's something that we need to learn to do more. I know I do. And also being more positive in our relationships and connecting, having more family time, having more partner time. 4th domain is the renewal domain. Just like in therapy, doing all this work, emotional work, can be tiring. You can get overwhelmed. As you've worked through these different domains and highlighted them in different spaces of your home, you also want a space that you can have rejuvenation. This is where self-care takes dominance and you use all that design energy, get rest, and recharge. Let's get into it. Organizational domain. It's practicing strategies for decluttering, organizing, optimizing your living space to promote that sense of balance and calm that I crave, I know you crave. It's something that we just really need in our lives. As I was going through the organizational chapter, I realized it is chock full of organizational and decluttering strategies. There's no way I can cover it all in one episode, but there is a very important strategy I would love to share with you that you can start with, because this is the important concept that will free your mind and I'm pretty sure stop the repetitive mode of cleaning up and then having it messy again. This is going to make things sustainable for you. And once you realize what's going on inside your head and heart, then that mind shift will help you physically organize much more effectively. What's the strategy? It is called the holding box. I developed this when I was working with interior design clients because I had so many clients that needed to either clear out a room or a whole house in order for us to renovate. And even the most organized homeowners had trouble saying goodbye to things, not knowing how to decide on keeping some things. As I observed, I realized there's organization personalities. There's the tossers, whom I fall into that category probably more. These are the people that just like to get rid of the stress by throwing things away. I'm not going to think about it. Go away, say goodbye. That's it. Very mindless throwing away. It's not necessarily productive because maybe 6 months down the road, you realize, oh, darn, I need that thing again. So you have to buy it again. Now, the opposite of that, it's really two sides of the same coin, are savers. That's more like my husband and many other people I know. And they like to save things because they also feel torn about what to do with this item or object. And so what they do is, I'm going to put it in the closet and not think about it, but at least it's there and it makes me feel safe and secure. Even at the same time, it makes me stressed out. So that's the funny thing about organizing, is that either way, it's two sides of the same coin. As I was helping clients, I realized that ultimately, this is like therapy. People come into therapy because they feel ambivalent about the item or the relationship or about themselves. And what's ambivalence? Ambivalence is having mixed emotions about a person, a thing, or a situation. I don't know if you can relate, but when I realized that, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the key. How do I help clients break through that ambivalence of keeping an item or giving it away intentionally? This is how the holding box developed. It's a designated box. You can pick any size that you want. You can pick something that maybe is more aesthetically pleasing, so it motivates you more to take this strategy seriously. Whenever we are organizing, there's very obvious things that are broken beyond repair, things that are just way too old to use. Those are always tossed. And then there's things that are saved that are very obvious. Heirlooms, vintage pieces, things that you still love and use every day. Those, easy. Those go into the save pile. But then there's the middle pile of, I don't know what to do. I want it, but then I never use it. Or, God, it's so pretty. I spent $500 on this dress at that wedding. Why would I give that away? But then you never wear it and it's just sitting in your closet. So you put those types of items into your holding box, and between 24 to 48 hours, so there is a deadline, you really let it marinate. Let that ambivalence marinate in your heart, your mind. Go through the 24 to 48 hours and come back to it and think, how do I really feel about this? Now that I've acknowledged the ambivalence, I've acknowledged that I feel both positive and negative about these items. Is there another person or organization that would benefit from these objects or items? Or maybe it's so special, it's worth saving because of what it evokes in your heart, your emotions. I had a client that kept a sweatshirt from her college, even though it was tattered. She wore it every day, go sleep. It was part of her PJs. That was her comfy go-to, what I call a serotonin sweatshirt. And she decided to keep it. You know why? Because it reminded her of her energy and spiritedness when she was in college. And she really loved how that sweatshirt, putting it on, made her feel young again. That is a perfectly good reason to keep something if it makes you that happy. Now, I also had a client that had a red dress. It was a very pretty dress. She'd spent like $500 on it for some kind of event or gala, but it sat there for a long, long time in her closet. So she and I did the holding box 24 to 48 hours, and she came back to me and she's like, you know what, Anita? I have this idea. I'm not really sure if it makes sense, but she and her husband wanted to make more time for their marriage. Their kids were getting a little bit older. And she thought, well, why don't I have this be the date dress that I'll wear when we go out on our monthly date night. I thought that was a fantastic idea. You are connecting that dress to a very meaningful interaction with your husband. Your brain is going to connect with it too and be very motivated to keep that habit, that positive loop into your daily routine. Now you can see the benefits of having a holding box. There's something about identifying and naming your feelings. And when we don't know what to do with clutter, there's a lot of ambivalence. And it's very important to name those specific feelings. It could be guilt, embarrassment. On the flip side, it could also make you feel successful, respected, thankful, hopeful, inspired. All of these feelings need time to be identified. And once you identify the feelings of those objects, if the positive outweighs the negative, then you know, okay, I'm going to keep this. If the negatives outweigh the positive and you feel inclined to give it to someone else who will benefit from these, the second part of the holding box is to identify a specific person or organization that can utilize that object, that item effectively, and not just another mindless big bag of throwaway things that we're going to give to the Goodwill mindlessly on the curb of your driveway, waiting for it to be picked up. We really want to be intentional when we give something away, because when we are intentional, that also alleviates the ambivalence. Part of the vicious cycle of being ambivalent about decluttering is when we are mindlessly just throwing things away, there's a lot of guilt. We can feel pretty bad about it. Like, oh, I'm so wasteful. I just wish I don't have this struggle or cycle about it. When you can identify and name an intention for whatever item you are giving away, that will eliminate the ambivalence you feel about that object, and you're going to be freed. Here are some tips for implementing the holding box. One, designate a specific location for your holding box, such as a closet shelf or corner that you can put it in that's near your closet or wherever you're cleaning up, so that it's visible but not in your way. Set a regular schedule for reviewing the contents of your holding box. Again, I mentioned 24 to 48 hours, and you know in your mind you're going to come back and make a decision on what to keep, donate, or discard. Remember, organization isn't just about tidying up. It's about creating a functional system that supports your daily routine and activities. So by incorporating the holding box, you can reduce stress. Research has shown increased productivity, stress is alleviated, anxiety and depression is lowered, our cortisol stress hormones are lowered, and you're creating a home that truly reflects your values and priorities. Until next time, happy organizing. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Home Therapy with Anita Yokota. If this episode resonated with you, consider passing it along to a friend, family member, coworker, or roommate. Spread the love, one home therapy session at a time. New episodes of Home Therapy are released every Tuesday. Subscribe to this podcast and never miss an episode. To leave a rating or review of the show, head to Apple Podcasts and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay in touch with me throughout the week, seeing behind-the-scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by subscribing to my website, anitayokota.com. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I adore our time together so much, guys. Let's keep our intentions focused and calm. And as always, use your home as therapy.